KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Coming up on KOMO News.
I'm Ryan Harris with the question on the state's authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions before the state Supreme Court.
A ruling affecting a local Indian tribe divides President Trump's two Supreme Court appointees. I'm Frank Lindsay with what's at stake for the Yakima Nation.
And how hot will we get today? First, ABC News, it's 1 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Scott Goldberg. President Trump's former fixer and personal attorney was on the radar of the special counsel's Russia investigation almost immediately.
Affidavits that form the basis for the search of Michael Cohen's property show he was among Robert Mueller's earliest targets. The special counsel began examining Cohen's emails in July of 2017, 2 months after Mueller was appointed. The illegal activity uncovered was then shared with federal prosecutors here in Manhattan who secured guilty pleas from Cohen. The portion of the documents about the campaign finance violation to which Cohen pleaded guilty were redacted. Prosecutors have said President Trump was involved, but the supporting information was blacked out. A sign the investigation continues. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
President Trump hosted Brazil's President Jair Bolsonaro at the White House today. Mr. Trump says the two men discussed the ongoing unrest in Venezuela.
President Trump says all options are on the table when it comes to resolving the political crisis in Venezuela. The president took questions from reporters in the Rose Garden.
But we really haven't done the really tough sanctions yet. We can do the tough sanctions, and all options are open, so we may be doing that.
The president said the situation in Venezuela is, quote, terrible and a disgrace, but insisted the U.S. is just looking to help people he says are starving and dying in the streets. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro has accused the Trump administration of plotting a coup to push him out of power. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
Vice President Pence is in Nebraska today, touring areas overwhelmed by floodwaters this week. At least three people have been killed there. An emotional apology today to workers outside Houston from the company with petrochemical tanks burning for a third straight day.
They're out there fighting this fire the best they can. They are residents. I would guess that probably 30% live in Deer Park in La Porte. They're concerned. Their families are concerned. So, of course, ITC would apologize to any of them.
You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. KOMO Midday.
Good afternoon. KOMO News Time 102. I'm Taylor Van Sice with the top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center. Seattle police say one of their officers is recovering today after being stabbed by a blind man. The officer was responding to a disturbance when the suspect came out of his apartment swinging a tactical knife. He ended up cutting the officer in the face and the arm. The officer has been treated for his injuries and the suspect arrested. Does the state have the power to require fuel sellers to meet greenhouse gas emission standards, even if the sellers don't cause the emissions themselves? KOMO's Ryan Harris tells us about the case before the state Supreme Court today.
In the case brought by the Association of Washington Business, attorney Jason Morgan says while many agree we need to do something, it will cost a lot of money to cut pollution. The Department of Ecology's attorney Laura Watson says there are provisions in the law consistent with broader statements in the Clean Air Act.
Because they advance ecology's direction to enhance, protect, and preserve the air quality for current and future generations, and to do so through all known, available, and reasonable methods.
Morgan argues fuel sellers don't themselves create emissions.
The authority to set emission standards is the authority to regulate a release of emissions. If you don't have a release, you don't have an emission. If you don't have an emission, you can't have an emission standard.
But Watson says other court rulings say departments have broad authority because it's not uncommon to leave it to an agency to create regulations. Ryan Harris, KOMO News.
And the court has not yet issued its ruling. President Donald Trump's two Supreme Court appointees are on opposite sides of two of three cases the justices decided today, including one from Washington.
Justice Neil Gorsuch joined the court's liberal justices in ruling that a Washington state Indian tribe does not have to pay a state fuel tax. Gorsuch says an 1855 treaty makes a handful of modest promises to the Yakima Nation, including the right to move goods to market freely. Justice Brett Kavanaugh dissented, arguing that the treaty merely gives tribal members the same right to travel as everybody else. The other case involves a lawsuit by survivors of two Navy veterans over their exposure to asbestos. Kavanaugh wrote the court's opinion that allows the suit to continue, while Gorsuch dissented. Frank Lindsay, KOMO News.
Coming up after traffic.
Landlords who punish their low-income tenants. I'm Corwin Hake with the plan to limit rent hikes.
Como News Time 104, and we check AAA traffic every 10 minutes on the 4s. Here's Marina.
Well, around here, we're doing really well. We don't have any blocking problems reported. Volumes are pretty light, just some minor slowdowns southbound I-5 through the U District and southbound 405 right around 44th. I do want to mention Highway 2. There is a problem on Highway 2 at milepost 107. It's about 4 miles west of Kashmir. So if you happen to be in that area, an overturned semi is blocking both westbound lanes, so a detour is in place via local roads. This look at traffic is brought to you by Lowe's. Now at Lowe's, get a Craftsman 2-cycle curved shaft gas string trimmer for just $99. Offer valid through 3/20. See store for details, U.S. only. Your next Como traffic at 1:14.
The Como forecast now. Here's Seth Wayne.
Still on our way to notice mostly sunny conditions, and those sunny skies will really hold strong over the course of the next day or two. Tomorrow, another round of 70s coming our way, and then clouds are starting to thicken up just a bit, so we'll go partly cloudy to mostly sunny on Thursday, but only in the low 60s, then eventually in the 50s with the chance of rain Saturday into Sunday. Have a great rest of your day. I'm Seth Wayne in the Como Weather Center.
What a day to just not go back to work after your lunch break. Beautiful skies and warm weather. It's 73 degrees in Seattle at Como News. Como News Time 105. In a booming economy, renters are sometimes punished, you might say, for having a low income. That's according to backers of a new state law that would protect tenants from short-notice rent hikes. Como's Corwin Hake explains.
When median income rises, landlords are motivated to raise rents. That's troublesome for those, including seniors, surviving on fixed incomes.
It's possible for people to have a midterm rent increase in the multiple hundreds of dollars.
Sarah Nagy, staff attorney with Columbia Legal Services, promotes a bill that, while not preventing rent hikes, would at least guarantee 60 days notice before the increase kicks in.
It will prevent people from being punished for being low income.
Under the bill, the minimum notice is reduced to 30 days in cases where the rent is subsidized or based on income. Corwin Hake, Como News.
The discussion of tenant protections continues at the state capitol with a hearing on a plan that would extend pay or vacate notices from three to 14 days for people who can't make their rent payments. Senator Patty Cooterer says her bill would also make things simpler for landlords.
We heard from the landlords that they were concerned about their notice. They had to hire a lawyer. Sometimes it costs them $800 to $1,000 just to draft a notice.
But testifying before the House Civil Rights and Judiciary Committee, landlord John Gibson says the time frame set out under the bill is not realistic.
For me, we've only done a few evictions, but it takes at least 30 days from what I've been able to determine. My experience cost me about $1,000 or more for the attorney fees.
Other landlords echoed that statement. A need to expand bus service is fueling speculation. Sound Transit may be about to hire non-union drivers, but the head of the agency tells Como's Brian Calvert otherwise.
Sound Transit CEO Peter Rogoff floated a new idea, saying he needs more help with certain express bus routes.
We needed to move forward with for the purpose of finding additional capacity to store our buses.
But the idea has been interpreted as the hiring of non-union employees. Kenneth Price, president of Local 587, told his members in a statement, the considerable time and financial resources the union invested in the successful passes of ST3 seems to have been blatantly disregarded by ST's unscrupulous CEO. Rogoff responds,
at Sound Transit, we have zero interest, none, in using drivers that are non-union. That is not the kind of agency we are.
He says whoever they work with in the future, there's language in the deal that means there are assurances union drivers will be used. Brian Calvert, Como News.
Companies here in Washington that warehouse and distribute prescription narcotics could be slapped with new taxes. Details from Como's Carlene Johnson.
The three largest opioid distribution companies here have long received a preference that lowers their B&O tax rate. But with the ongoing overdose crisis and lawsuits against drug industry companies, there's a push to go after them. Democrat Senator Karen Kaiser says it makes sense to tax them like marijuana, 37% of gross sales. She says distributors are failing to report suspicious pharmacy orders.
2015, 8 counties with more prescriptions than populations.
But opponents argue the tax would certainly be passed on to the patient who is already suffering. Mary McHale from the American Cancer Society.
The total direct patient costs, including premiums, deductibles, co-pays, and co-insurance, range from nearly $6,000 $1,000 a year on an employer-sponsored plan to a little more than $10,000 on an exchange plan.
State Pharmacy Association also testified against the bill. Carlene Johnson, Como News.
It was almost a year ago that the SUV of a Clark County family crashed off a cliff in California. Como's Eric Hines reports on April 3rd, a jury will be asked to determine how each member of the Hart family died.
Jennifer Hart, along with her partner Sarah and five of their six adopted children, were killed on March 26, 2018. Earlier in the month, a neighbor called CPS with concerns the children were abused. A caseworker was unable to find the couple at their home. Then the Hart's SUV was found at the bottom of a cliff, along with the bodies of Jennifer, Sarah, and three of the children. The bodies of two more children were found earlier this year. Their sixth child remains missing. Investigators later found Jennifer Hart had been drunk at the time of the crash. The crash was originally called an accident. Now it's a criminal investigation. Eric Hines, Como News.
Como News Time 110. An update on sports now from the Harley Exterior Sports Desk. It's kind of opening day, almost. Tom Glasgow's talking baseball.
Well, we are about half a day away from the start of the 2019 Major League Baseball season with the Mariners and A's playing the first of a two-game series in Tokyo at the Tokyo Dome. Lefty Marco Gonzalez on the mound for the Mariners. Ichiro in the starting lineup for the Mariners in what could be his second-to-last game as a professional ball player. How about this reported deal that's being worked on between the Angels and Mike Trout? 12 years, four $432 million. That would shatter the record for the largest deal in North American sports history. From the NFL, former Seahawks, Falcons, Raiders defensive end slash outside linebacker Bruce Irvin signing a one-year deal with the Carolina Panthers. March Madness tipping off not too long from now. As this afternoon, you have your first two of the first four matchups. Big dance activity in Dayton, Ohio. The first game up, Fairleigh Dickinson against Prairie View. The winner of that one will take on Gonzaga on Thursday in Salt Lake City. The other game today has Temple taking on Belmont. For sports in 30 minutes, on your home of the Huskies, Como News. I'm Tom Glasgow.
Como News Time 111. AAA traffic just a few minutes away. The head of New Zealand's government has a promise to never say the name of the man accused of killing dozens of worshippers in two mosques last week. Here's ABC's Sherry Preston.
The Prime Minister of New Zealand was stunned last week in the aftermath of the mosque shootings that left 50 people dead and dozens others hospitalized in our country. To the suspected gunman, she said,
"You may have chosen us, but we utterly reject and condemn you."
Well, since then, Jacinda Ardern has promised that things will be different.
Our gun laws will change.
When it comes to social media, where the gunman posted his video to Facebook Live and where it was reposted to YouTube, she says, there also need to be changes.
They are the publisher, not just the postman. There cannot be a case of all profit, no responsibility.
But when she talked about the man accused of the massacre,
he sought many things from his act of terror, but one was notoriety. And that is why you will never hear me mention his name.
The victims, she said, are the ones who should be remembered.
Speak the names of those who were lost, rather than the name of the man who took them.
Sherry Preston, ABC News.
A woman who scaled the Statue of Liberty on the 4th of July to protest the Trump administration and its immigration policies avoided prison time today. ABC's Aaron Katursky explains.
Teresa Patricia Okumu showed up to court with tape over her mouth. The judge made her remove. Federal prosecutors wanted her sent to prison for at least a month after she climbed the base of the Statue of Liberty to protest family separation at the southern border. Defense attorney Ron Kuby suggested a different remedy.
To the extent that the government is concerned about Patricia Okumu reoffending, it would be a really good idea to reunify those families as quickly as possible.
The judge sentenced Okumu to 5 years probation and community service. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
Just as it looked as though the flames were dying down at a chemical plant near Houston, the fire grew again. ABC's Jim Ryan is in Texas and says five massive tanks are still burning now 2 days after an explosion at the facility.
Each tank holds more than 80,000 barrels of petrochemical. Last night, the number on fire had fallen back to three when two more suddenly caught fire. It's a frustrating situation for firefighters and for International Terminals Company.
This isn't an event we want.
wanted or planned.
An emotional company vice president, Alice Richardson, says many of the plant's workers live in the adjacent community.
They're concerned. Their families are concerned. So, of course, ITC would apologize to any of them.
No one has been hurt. State regulators say the air in that area is still safe. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Como News Time, 1:14. AAA traffic every 10 minutes on the 4s. Marina Rockinger, what do you see?
Well, we had a brief problem in the Factoria area. The shoulder is now blocked northbound 405, just north of Coal Creek Parkway. Not really seeing a big backup because of it. Minor backup, southbound 405 right through the Newcastle neighborhood. Southbound 167, some minor slowdowns at about 180th. And southbound I-5, some crowding on the Ship Canal Bridge. This look at traffic is brought to you by Fix Auto Collision Centers of Washington. A traffic accident can be a headache. Fix Auto Collision Centers can help with over 15 Washington locations. Call 1-800-INFO-FIX for one near you. Fix Auto, the first words that should come to mind after an accident. Your next Como traffic at 124.
Now the Como forecast, and we've reached our anticipated high of 73 degrees, so I guess we'll just see where we go from here. Clear skies tonight, 54 the low, and a high tomorrow of 77 in Seattle, which leads me to believe that some of our other neighborhoods will be touching 80 degrees. Into the mid-60s for Thursday, with mostly sunny skies still, and then some clouds for Friday, lower 60s by then, bringing us some showers probably into the weekend. Right now, 73 in Seattle at Como.
Stay connected. Stay informed. Seattle's only 24-hour news station, Como News.
Bill O'Neill is our editor this afternoon. I'm Taylor Van Sice, and among the headlines we're following today, President Trump hosted the president of Brazil at the White House today and was asked about Venezuela and the sanctions that are on that country. He called the situation in Caracas very sad and condemned the socialist government in Venezuela, saying all options remain on the table, but he did not talk directly about U.S. military action. And a new report says prosecutors in Florida may drop the prostitution charges against New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft under some unusual conditions. The Wall Street Journal says prosecutors in Jupiter will dismiss the solicitation charges against Kraft and the other men charged if they admit they would have been proven guilty at trial. Como News Time, 1:16. To address rising safety concerns, as you know, Boeing took the 737 MAX line off the table, essentially, and now is offering pilots additional training for the 737 MAX. That announcement, made by CEO Dennis Muilenburg, is one of two new safety measures following the two deadly crashes involving the same aircraft over the last few months. ABC's David Curley reports.
For the first time since 157 people perished in that second Boeing 737 MAX crash in Ethiopia, the CEO appearing on camera in a statement to the flying public.
Lives depend on the work we do at Boeing, and that demands the utmost excellence and integrity in how we do it.
He says his company is cooperating with the FAA and the NTSB, now gathering in Ethiopia to analyze the black box data, and the Lion Air crash less than 5 months ago, in which the aircraft acted in a similar way.
Together, we'll keep striving to earn and keep the trust people have placed in Boeing.
Boeing, according to one financial analyst, could lose $500 million a month coming in while it stopped delivery of the 737 MAXs. This as questions swirl about how this aircraft was approved to fly. The Seattle Times reporting the FAA, underfunded and low on resources, pressured its engineers to cede more and more control of the safety review to Boeing. Now, increased scrutiny. Investigations about how the jet's new anti-stall system, called MCAS, connected with the first crash, was certified safe. Boeing did market this model to airlines as cost-effective, requiring minimal training and no time in a simulator because of commonality with the previous version, the 737 Next Gen. Flight instructor Aaron Murphy is in a simulator from that previous model of the 737. In the first crash, we know that right after takeoff, bad data turned on that anti-stall system, the MCAS.
The MCAS perhaps is sending the information in that says we're stalling. We fight it. We get on the trim. We try to recover from that.
The difference in the MAX is that this automatic system would be more aggressive in pushing the plane's nose down, essentially putting it into a dive.
The MCAS is trimming nose down.
Murphy illustrating how that anti-stall system, which pilots didn't know about before the Lion Air crash, was difficult to battle. And if they did correct, the MCAS would re-engage.
The MCAS is trimming nose down. We're fighting it. We're fighting it, and then the MCAS kicks in again.
The question this morning was that anti-stall system involved in both crashes.
ABC's David Curley. A group of militants believed to be responsible for a deadly attack in America, in Syria, now in custody. ABC's Louis Martinez.
The five ISIS fighters were captured by U.S.-backed Kurds several weeks ago in the same part of Syria where the deadly blast occurred in mid-January. Four Americans were killed in that suicide bomb explosion on a local restaurant frequented by U.S. troops. It was the deadliest attack on U.S. forces in Syria since they arrived in late 2015. A U.S. official says the five ISIS fighters have been interrogated by U.S. officials. Louis Martinez, ABC News, The Pentagon.
New information on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's connections to a corruption case in which the Israeli leader is not a suspect and has denied all wrongdoing. ABC's Jordan Miller reports from Jerusalem.
A court filing by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's lawyers show the Israeli leader made $4.5 million selling shares in a U.S.-based steel company, Graftech, back in 2010. He was already prime minister then, but did not disclose the sale. Netanyahu's ties to Graftech now raising new questions about his role in an ongoing corruption investigation into Israel's purchase of submarines from the German company ThyssenKrupp. Graftech was one of ThyssenKrupp's main suppliers. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
Como News Time 120. An update now on our Propel Insurance Money Updates with Jim Chesko.
AT&T's Warner Media says Kevin Tsujihara will step down as chief executive of Warner Brothers Studio. The departure comes in the wake of a Hollywood Reporter article that said Tsujihara, who oversaw movie and television production, had an affair with a young actress and made inquiries about casting her in Warner Productions. Warner Media hasn't named a successor. The first official trailer for Disney's much-anticipated Toy Story 4 is out today. It introduces a new homemade toy named Forky, who will be featured prominently.
I want you to meet Forky!
Hi!
Hello!
Also, Woody's love interest from the first two movies in the franchise, Bo Peep, returns in Toy Story 4, which arrives in theaters June 21st. That's your money now.
Closing numbers on Wall Street were mixed, but just narrowly. The Dow down by 26 points to 25,887. The NASDAQ up by about 9 to 7,723. And the S&P 500 not even a point lower, closing at 2,832. Your next money update at 1:50. Marina Rockinger has our AAA traffic next.
There's only one official hometown Husky station, Como News.
Right wing three, yes!
Join the voice of the Huskies, Tony Castricone, for all the postseason hoop madness.
Windmill champ, wow!
Como News 1000, FM 97.7. If you could.